one with one voice, nothing shall be impossible.
Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be.
Let's worship the Lord. Please stand if you're able. I know you know this one, right?
Thank you. lights went out. When death acclaimed its victory, the King of Love had given up his life. The darkest day in history, there on a cross they made for sinners. For every curse his blood atoned. One final breath and it was finished. But not the end we could have known. For the earth began to shake.
Jesus, oh, hail the Lord.
Lord, we just praise you that you brought us here today, and we just praise you with every ounce of being that we have, every breath that we have, and just, Lord, that day we pray once again that we, maybe today is the day, we say it all the time, maybe today is the day where we get to see King Jesus face to face. We give you, God, we just ask for your blessing to be upon our kids, upon this room, upon anybody who's online church, whatever. God, just bring your Holy Spirit here and give us not what we want, but what we need. And that's you. And we give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody says, amen. Amen. Say hi to one person. I'll be nice today. One person. And our kids can head to Shoreline, our Haven kids.
That he gave his only begotten son. I want every child to know that there's a God. I want every child to know that God loves them, that God sent his son from heaven to this earth to take our sins. We've got a charge to go into the world, to make disciples of all nations, to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. God, here I am. Take me and send me and use me.
Three, two, one. When that shoebox is open, they're overjoyed.
You can see them shouting, jumping.
Oh, look at how much they are excited. This is the first time those children are receiving the shoeboxes. They are so happy.
Every box is important because every box is an opportunity to tell a child about God's love, about his son, Jesus Christ.
If you get the heart of the child, you will reach the heart of the parents, you will reach the heart of the family, and then you will touch the community. That gift box is the beginning into their hearts.
Isn't it incredible how these gifts touch the lives of these children? Every year we see tens of thousands of children discipled. And we couldn't do this without you, so thank you for packing the boxes. Thank you for praying for these children around the world. God bless you, and keep packing those boxes.
morning. And for anybody who needs to know, that was not Benjamin Franklin. Graham, I believe. I will never live that one down, so I just let it go. It's my calling. Holy moly, we just got all kinds of good stuff going on today. It's on. You're all giving me the finger back there. Can y'all hear me? Low?
What do I do?
Just talk louder. Keep talking. Okay. I don't even know where to start, but I'm going to start with Israel. It's shaken me to the core. I don't know about anybody else, but the Bible says that's where it's going to start. And to be praying on our knees for those people and for everybody. So keep those in your heart. And also, very close to us, Mike and Corinne, their daughter and her husband, Anna and Andrus, are in Iraq right now, or Israel right now, touring. And they're doing everything they can to get on a plane to come home. So let's lift them, keep them in prayer, and pray they get back here safely. We just have a ton of stuff going on and a lot of prayers. I'm just excited. I see Jenny and I see Bernie and there was somebody else, dang it. Sue, we got y'all back in here. Yay, I'm excited. These getting healthy and keeping them healthy. That's what it's all about. It's those Haven prayers, ladies, I want you to know. We're always shooting them out. And Christy Givens and Wayne, their daughter was in the hospital this week and is now home and doing better. So we want to continue to lift her. She was very, very sick. Ruth Altazar called me and talked to me today. Her sister and brother-in-law still need prayer. And I think it's her nephew, Manny, is going to be deployed. So that family's kind of shaken to the core. So let's keep them in prayer and lift them. And as you saw, Operation Christmas Child, this is just a reminder, October 15th, next weekend, is our deadline. And I don't see 300 boxes yet, so y'all get busy. And if you can't pack a box and you just want to bring stuff in, bring it in, because our Sunday school class will be packing boxes next Sunday. Okay? So whatever you want to bring in and donate, bring it in. Okay? Holly wants us to continue to pray for her father and unspoken prayers. And she's going to do her first oil change tomorrow. Go for it. It's all good. Jill has an EMT appointment Wednesday for her voice, and we want to make sure that there's no serious issues. As you know, a couple years ago, she lost her voice and had a lot of complications, and we love hearing her sing up here, so we want her to be okay. She is also going to be traveling to China, and I think anybody that's traveling right now, let's keep them in prayer. Keep them in prayer. There's a lot going on out in that world. Donna Wiggum also wasn't able to be here today. She has not been feeling well, and she's on some new medication, so we're hoping that she's up and kicking butt real soon. And yesterday, Mark and Rebecca buried Mark's mom. It was a very amazing ceremony, service, and a celebration to her life. So we want to keep them in prayer as they have lots of family in and are going out today and going to be flying. So let's keep them in prayer. Women's conference, do it or die. See me today, okay? If you didn't do it, I'm not going to tell you what's going to happen. But anyway, purses, bring your purses. We're getting a box out there. We're going to do a purse exchange. It's all exciting. So Marge, dig in that closet. I know you have a million. And Marge is back with her knees. Looking good. All right. Sandy, continue to pray for your sister with her cancer treatments. And I'm reading all of my little skinny notes. If I missed anybody, I'm sorry, because I always do. So just yell at me. Jen Wilcox, I believe, her father, we want to continue to lift him in prayer. Okay? And pray for me, because I still don't have a full brain, but it'll get here someday. November is the target. Go off the medicine. Yay. Let's go to God in prayer. Let's put our hand on our knees and let's tell him. What's on your heart? What did you wake up today that was burning in your heart? Things that were just aching. I know if you all turned on that TV yesterday and saw that Israel and the bombing and the just unbelievable stuff. We got to be with them, our fellow Christians. Keep them in your hearts, keep them in your mind. And we praise Jesus that we're here in America and that's not happening here. And let's pray that it doesn't come here. Let's thank God for all the gifts he gives us, the love, all the healing that he gives us. Wes told us yesterday he's doing good and really healing. We're really proud of him and proud that the Lord has touched him. Keep those in mind that are struggling with mental health issues, drug addictions. We want God to watch over them and to continue praying for them forever. Don't ever give up on someone. God's got them. So I bring all these things to you and to God in prayer. Be with Pastor Jack today as he brings us our message. He has been on fire lately. We're loving it. And everybody this week, I just want you to do one pay it forward in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Right. How many of you are glad it's not raining today? There we go. All right. It's because the other week it was pouring. People were like, "Oh, well, we need it." I'm like, "I don't want it," you know. And now, but a lot of good stuff. So it's all. It feels like officially fall, right? So anyway, good to see everybody here today. And if you're visiting, welcome. We always believe that you're not here by mistake. That God brought you here for a purpose. And so welcome to the family. Even if it's for today, welcome. So a couple things on there. One of the things that you might have seen up there, it was a Disciple Bible Study 4. The last series we did was I'll Be Back, and we talked about the second coming of Christ. Disciple 4, it's a we've got it down to about 23, 24 weeks, and it's based in a couple Old Testament books, like Ruth and Esther, but the bulk of it is going to deal with the Gospel of John, the letters of John, James, and maybe Jude. There's a couple other little ones, but mostly Revelation, okay? John, and so the writings of John. Love to have you be part of it. We're going to be meeting Tuesday nights, and we're supposed to start that next, I think, 17th, correct? Is that what it is? So if you're interested, you can do that online right in front of you. If you look, there's a kind of QR code probably in the seat next to you or somewhere in the aisle, and that is how to get the app, and it has all that information there. And you can go ahead and get connected there, or you can see Ron or somebody. We'll get see somebody with the black shirts, and how can I help? And guess what they're going to do? Help you, hopefully. All right, so that's what we want to do. All right, so we have that. Again, next week is Operation Christmas Child. Several different ways you can give. And again, you can also help donate to the kids putting the things together, but we definitely want to make sure we get those out and make a big challenge and make a great Christmas for those around the world. And more importantly, they come and connect to Jesus through that. And I'll never forget that one time we saw the video a couple years ago about the people who donated a box and gave it, and then the girl who got the box, he actually married later in life. I mean, that's just, if you don't believe God's involved, that's, you know, I mean, think of all the billions of people in the world, and that's what happens. So that's pretty cool. I think it's cool. I don't care whether you do or not. But anyway, right there, this is a QR code. If you want to get a digital bulletin, it's fine. Go ahead, take out your smartphone, and that'll give you the bulletin paper that we had there. All right, so you ready? We are in the last week of our series. You really wanted to know, where we're looking at a couple questions that people have, individuals here and also people in the Christian faith have. Often on Easter Sundays, we'll give out a questionnaire at times and do it digitally, and people fill those out. And when they fill them out, they'll go ahead and we take some of the top questions that are there. And so today, today we're gonna finish this series up, and today we're gonna talk. Last week, remember what we talked about last week? Anybody know? Spiritual warfare. We talked about, and we talked about stress and some other things like that. Today we're gonna wrap it up with and you are, and we're gonna talk about the Holy Spirit. All right, and we're gonna talk about it a little differently than we have before. So when talking about this, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit in a little different way. We're not going to get into some other things. We're going to just kind of talk about our kind of understanding of the Holy Spirit and the kind of camps that we're in, and kind of just how we can take a step forward from where we are into living a Spirit-filled life. Before I get started, how many happy Phillies fans are here? How many unhappy Orioles fans are here? All right. How many could care less? There you go. All right, we'll pray for you. All right. So anyway, all right, I figured I'd get that out of the way so you can focus on Jesus and not on baseball. All right. Anyway, so that's what we're going to talk about. If you're like I know many people may have grown up in the church, and many people may have grown up in, I'd say, with the difference that we have here, some may have grown up in a very traditional church, right? Others may have grown up in a very Pentecostal-like environment church. And I see Patty right there. She's yelling. She's from the hills. Just let her go. All right. So anyway. True story, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, see? Okay. But apart from whether you were part of a mainline denomination or whether you're part from a Pentecostal movement or Catholic or whatever, we as Christians believe in a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And she's ready to go today. I mentioned Holy Spirit. But you know, it's interesting that if you this verse may kind of ring to you, and it's from the Apostle Paul, and it's the first verse that we have on your bulletin, and he's talking to some people who had become believers, and he said, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And these are people who believe in Jesus. These are what we would call Christian people. And look at the response. No, they replied, "We haven't even heard that there's a Holy Spirit." Okay, and there may be some people that walked around like that. And I think after 2,000 years, if you are a Christian and you are part of a church, you may have heard of the Holy Spirit, but you may not, depending on what you heard, it may be right or wrong, correct? Depending on what environment you came up in as well. And I grew up in an environment that my dad was a Methodist preacher, but we used to joke and say he was Methacostal because he had an encounter with the Holy Spirit right before I was born. I guess God figured he needed the strength of the Holy Spirit to raise me. But it was the same year during the Jesus movement in the early 70s. And so, you know, I grew up knowing a lot about God the Father, knowing about the love of God, not just the wrath of God. I also knew and experienced, thanks to my dad and mom, the grace of Jesus, just how Jesus was gracious and loving, and I understood that. But I also had, Jill and I, when we were raised, also had this environment that we got to learn a lot about the Holy Spirit. I've told some of you many times that we would be on vacation. Vacation. You know what you're supposed to do on vacation? Nothing. Have fun at the beach. But we would go ahead, and we would meet people on the beach. Like, somebody would see somebody reading a Christian book, and before you know it, we're having a prayer session on night. We're having church on the beach, and we're like, "Hey, let's get together and pray." I'm like, "I wanted to go play putt-putt." You know what I mean? And this was our life. And you know, and if you said, "Hey, if you had something like you were dealing with, it was bring out the anointing oil and let's pray for you." And that's how it was done in our house. That's not your normal Methodist pastor environment. I realize that. It's not your normal environment for the Christians. But Dad was one who really, I understood a lot about those different things. And growing up in the Jesus movement, we found ourselves in many, many areas talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, the interesting thing about that was it was really cool at some times, but other times it's like, okay, that's good for you. Can I just go, you know, enjoy vacation? Can I just enjoy life? I don't want to deal with that. And you know, all that other kind of stuff with the Spirit, yeah, that's good for mom and dad. You know, they're old people. They're in their 50s. You know what I mean? But I know I am. Yeah.
But it's, you know, but me, I just, when I go, you know what I mean? Like, you might have had somebody in your environment that was really connected to the Holy Spirit or really into church in some way, and you're like, that's good for them, but hey, I'm going to go live life what I want to. So growing up, it was really interesting in those areas, and I just thought that was what people grew up with. And so, you know, that might be a lot of your story. If you are a Christ follower, you love Jesus, you come to church, and you may have read your Bible, or you serve, and you give, and you lead, and you pray, and you sing the songs, you have Christian music in your playing in your car, not just when you're coming to church. You never notice that you play it when you're coming to church, but when you leave, it's like something else. Anyway, but there's always, but you may have done all that stuff, but there's something about your relationship with God that just seems to be lacking. You know what I mean? Like, there just seems to be, I'm doing all the right stuff. I have all the things, but yeah, there's just something that's not fully there. There's got to be something more. And what I want to share with you is I believe that something more is not just an understanding of the third person of the Trinity, God, the Holy Spirit, but is a relational connection, a relationship with the third part of the Trinity, which is the Holy Spirit. And so in John chapter 3, it's very interesting. You know John chapter 3 because of John 3:16. But before that, Jesus, that's part of it, but Jesus was having a discussion with a well-known, respected teacher named Nicodemus. And thankfully he was, because now we have John 3:16, which many of us memorize, and the guy with the multicolored hair holds up at football games, right? And so here's one of the things that he says is, Jesus says to Nicodemus, they're meeting at night, and Jesus says, you're a respected teacher of Israel, and you don't know the basics, okay? So he's talking to him, and he's asking his question. He said, hey, you're supposed to be a leader, and you don't even know the basics. Listen carefully. I'm speaking sober truth to you. I speak only what I know by what? Experience. So this is Jesus. I give witness only to what I have seen with my own eyes. So Jesus is saying, hey, I don't know what your books say. I don't know what your laws say. I don't know what your teaching says. What I am sharing with you is what I've experienced, and you should take that to the bank, because Jesus says, part of the Godhead, and he's saying, I'm sharing with you what I've experienced and what my eyes have seen. And he says, there's nothing secondhand here, no hearsay. Yet instead of facing the evidence and accepting it, you procrastinate with questions. And this is an interesting verse, because when it comes to the Holy Spirit, I think many of us can relate, if Jesus was talking to us, that we want to come up with lots of different discussions rather than just accepting the evidence and not procrastinating, but just forming a relationship with him. And one of the things I think is that I honestly believe that many of us are not against the Holy Spirit. I don't think we have our arms crossed and like this. I think the way he's been packaged, or the way that even the church and others have presented the Holy Spirit, has not done a very good PR movement. Because often what I think that happens, if you're anything like a lot of people, we tend to question the unexplainable things and can be missing out on the undeniable. So a lot of things we just question, the things that we just can't explain or understand. And we're just like, well, I can't explain it. I don't know how to do it. But things happen that are undeniable in many ways. And so, and this is true in a lot of our areas of our life. The undeniable part is that the Holy Spirit is part of the triune God. It's undeniable that the Holy Spirit is part of who God is. But sometimes there's just not a good explanation for him. We just don't know how to think about it. I heard one pastor one time said, the Holy Spirit's like a ceiling fan. Like dusty and, you know, I don't know. What's that supposed to mean? I don't get that. I don't understand that. Can somebody explain that to me? So it confused me even more. That's the last thing I'm picking, like a ceiling fan. But, you know, we don't understand the Holy Spirit so much. And, you know, we tend, often what else I find out is we tend not to pursue things that we don't understand. Like, for instance, it's true in any area of our life. In relationships, I dare say that over your life that you may have had a number of relationships, whether it be friendships, whether it be dating relationships, or something else. And during that time, has anybody ever had a relationship, a friendship, or something that at first you're like, oh, okay, and then they did things that you don't understand, and you're just like, what, and before you know that, you're like, eh, I think I'm good without this person. I don't know why they're doing that. And so you just kind of distance yourself in those areas. It's the same thing in school. Like, anybody have a subject in school that you don't understand? I mean, like, I'm better at math now, but I was awful. I mean, I just didn't get it. You with me? Anybody with me in the math deal? I just didn't get it. And so, guess what? I am not a math or statistics major, just to let you know. I was not. I understood writing. I understood, so my majors were journalism and English minor, all right? And PR, because, you know, I like to talk, and I figured that somebody would pay me. So, those are the things that I pursued because I understood those. I like those things. I love writing. I like putting together something from scratch in that way. But if you ask me to do, like, what are they, like, radians, and is that, am I right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? I say, yes, Robin, yeah, yes. I don't even know what that is. I just remembered I did it for college, and I forgot about it right afterwards, you know? And so that's just, like, something I don't do. We don't pursue a career in the things that we don't understand in school. And I think it's also true in our relationship with God. That with our relationship with God, when it comes to things like our topic last week, spiritual warfare, when we don't understand those things, and that's why I spent time last week sharing about spiritual warfare, because if we don't understand about it, we're probably not going to pursue and recognize that we're in a spiritual warfare, and we're not going to pursue the things to do battle so that we can go ahead and take a stand against the devil and his scheme. This goes on in other things. For instance, if we don't understand or have never been taught the blessing of generosity, then we're not going to pursue it. If we understand selfishness, what are we going to pursue? Selfishness. If I don't understand what the benefit for forgiveness. You know, somebody said, unforgiveness is like setting yourself on fire and hoping the other person dies of smoke inhalation. You know, many of the times, the people that we don't forgive and the people that we're most upset with, they've forgotten about it and gone on, but it keeps us bound in life. And so when we don't understand what forgiveness does and how it releases us and allows God to work in that, then we won't pursue forgiveness. And so what I want to do today in the remainder time that we have, I want to go ahead and give you a better understanding and kind of give you a glimpse of what a spirit-filled life looks like. All right, so I want to start with a story I heard about someone who, there was a guy who went to a lake, a big lake, and he was riding around, and he looked, and he saw, there was a sailboat school there. Anybody ever sail? Anybody sailboaters? Okay. All right, good. So, forgive me if I don't know what I'm talking about, all right? But they had this sailboat school on the lake, and there was a father who was in this sailboat, and he was learning some lessons. He was a man. He figured as a father because next to them, there was a woman and a teenage boy in a kayak, and they were taking pictures and videos of the father getting this lesson, okay? So they were together as a family. And then as they're sitting there, so they're right next to the sailboat in a kayak. The sailboat's there, and the crew is on there, and they're going through what sailing is like and teaching the person. And all of a sudden, this person shared that a gust of wind came and hit the sails. And as soon as it did, the sailboat just, right, started taking off. And the people in the sailboat got really excited. Woo, yeah, let's go. So they started, they got back off the side, and they were going ahead and flipping things around, started yelling and fist pumping and high-fiving each other, because that's just taking that sail and just taking it off. And they moved really, really fast. Those of you who said you were sailing, those moments are awesome, correct? Like, from what I understand, that's like what you hope for in those moments. So that's what happened. So, but there was another boat, right? Remember, what was it? The kayak. And then there was the wife and the son. So as the sailboat started taking off and going, the wife and the son started rowing after it, right? Going and going, and they were going. That's a true story. And they put the phone down, they got the oars, they're rowing, and they were doing it really, really quickly, trying to keep up with the sailboat. How successful do you think they were? Not at all. The sailboat was just going further and further. Now, they were heading to the same destination, but that distance was increasing and increasing and increasing between the sailboat and the kayak. Why? Why? Because the wind was driving it. And what I want to, why, reason why I shared this is because that, I believe, is an image of a Christian life with the power of the Holy Spirit and one without a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Like, you can still be a Christian. You can still accept the love of Jesus Christ and the offer that God gave to you through Jesus and his death and the resurrection. And you can be rowing by your own power through life. And you're going to still get to the same destination because of your love and relationship with Jesus, but it's going to be different. Because when these three guys got there, think about when these guys on the sailboat got there, they got there way before everybody else, and they were like, whoa, this is great. They were there. They had a great story. They were talking about how fun it was. The wind was blowing through your hairs. I've been on a lot of kayaks. I have never said wind is blowing through my hair in a kayak. I have gone, no, thank you. I remember when we were out west in the Arizona area, in Page, Arizona, for M. Miguel's trip, and she wanted to go get kayaks and stuff and go around. It was like 100, and it was going to be 306 degrees or whatever, and I went to go ahead and look about renting these kayaks. And I walked up to the place, and there's this guy there, and I was saying, yeah, you know, I was thinking about kayaks, taking it down on Lake Powell here, and one of the things. And this guy stops and he looks at me, he goes, hey, I'm originally from the Midwest. I'm like up a little bit north middle of the United States. And he said, I'm looking at you. That white skin out there in 100-plus degree weather, you're going to be burnt and you're going to be miserable. And that's what he said to me. I'm like, sounds like a plan to me that I don't want to do. And I said, and he said, so what are you going to do? He said, you're going to be out there for 3 hours in this heat? You're crazy. And this is what the guy just never met. And I thank him for his honesty because I went ahead and rented a pontoon boat with a cover over it. You know what I mean? And it was a much more fun day than, and guess what? We got more around that lake than we ever would have paddling around. Now, we still would have gotten the lake. We still would have taken off in the same place. But I can guarantee you I would have been the most miserable person you have ever seen on the face of the earth if I had to row my boat in that kayak for 3 hours fried. You know what I mean? I had much more fun driving and whipping them around on an inner tube. You know what I'm saying? And so that's what happens a lot of times in our own Christian life, that we're headed in a direction. As Christians, we're all headed in a direction. We're keeping our eyes on Jesus. We're headed to the prize, which is heavenward. We want to get there to heaven with the Lord and live life, that life abundantly and fullness there. But a lot of times we're living our lives out of the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I want for people at Haven and believers everywhere, that the Holy Spirit is a gust or a blast of air in our relationships, that it's a blast of air in our parenting, that it's just this life-giving sustenance in our workplace, that it's just it's a breath of fresh air, or this tornado wind that comes into our mind when our minds aren't clear and we're just struggling with some things. And the thing is, the Holy Spirit always leads you in the right direction. He's never going to take you off the path. We talked about last week how when Jesus was tempted, it says the Holy Spirit led him or threw him out in the desert. That was not because he's like, oh, sorry. No, he needed him to go out there, needed Jesus to go out there. The Holy Spirit wants to move you in a direction. And here's the thing. When you get with the Holy Spirit guiding you, it's going to be faster. It's going to be more fun. You're going to have some great stories about things that happen, all by the Holy Spirit. When you're rowing through this life under your own strength, you're going to get worn out. You're going to get worn out. Now, what I want to do is I want to share with you that the Holy Spirit, God's got power, and that's why he gives us the Holy Spirit. And what I want to share as a premise for the rest of the day is there are three groups that are represented in the church or in this room, online, or in the sound of my voice when it comes to your relationship with the Holy Spirit. And we're going to find ourselves in one of those groups. And I figured this out by talking to people over the years and by asking them questions like about who they thought the Holy Spirit is, what's their confidence in the Holy Spirit, their theology of the Holy Spirit. What questions do they have about the Holy Spirit? And so I came up with three categories. And I think we'll all fit in one of these categories as believers. Number one, cautious when it comes to the Holy Spirit. That you're cautious. Maybe you grew up in a very traditional church background, and maybe you even had pastors that told you, and this is true, hey, God the Father and God the Son, but stay away from those Holy Spirit people, right? They're a little Holy Spirit, you know. Okay, and well, even there's even theologies that say, oh, well, the gifts of the Spirit are passé now, and it was for that time, but not for now. All right. So you may be like a little bit like, I'm cautious. But another thing may be that you're curious. You actually believe and understand and know He's real. He's part of the Trinity, so you're not against Him. You just kind of want to know, how does this fit into my life? And then you may have confidence. Confidence is that you live day by day, moment by moment, by the Spirit. You listen for His voice. And I'd say this comes about, just as Jesus said, by experience. You had an experience with the Holy Spirit. Yes. And so my job today is to take you from wherever you are in any of those three areas and kind of just get you to move a little bit wherever you are to think about moving a little bit further with a life empowered by the Holy Spirit. All right? And so no matter whether you're here for the first time or whether you've been in church for 60, 70, 80 years, the bottom line is there's more that God has for us. Amen. And I don't know about you, but don't you want everything God has for you? And because there's so much more of God, He's bigger than we can ever imagine. So let's start. Let's start reverse. Let's start with the confident crowd. The confident crowd. And maybe you've had this experience with the Holy Spirit that you're like, oh, I know Him personally. I know the Holy Spirit personally because of this. Or one time when this happened, something happened here. There's some kind of personal relationship that you have with Him. Maybe you were baptized in the Holy Spirit and you say, okay, what's next for me? And I think for you guys that you're like, this verse kind of rings more true to you, and it comes from Acts chapter 20, and it says this, and now compelled or moved by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem not knowing what is going to happen to me there. Now, most of us would go ahead and sit down and say, hey, would you really want to go to Jerusalem? I mean, you really aren't sure what's going to happen there. So it may not make sense to go to Jerusalem. Why don't you look at the pluses and minuses? Let's put a spreadsheet together in Excel, and let's look where we have, right? That's the kind of stuff we do. But in this case, was compelled by the Holy Spirit to go, and it didn't care whether it made sense or not. That the relationship and the discussion with the Holy Spirit, so that's the first thing. The Holy Spirit speaks to us, and we know that through relationship. I can tell with the people that I have really good relationships when even before caller ID, if I pick up the phone and I hear a voice, because I know them and I have a relationship with them. The ones that I have somewhat relationship, when they call, I'm like, okay, you ever had that call and the caller ID doesn't come up? You can't cheat. You know what I mean? Or your phone zotted out, or you send a text to somebody, you're like, hey, what you up to? And they go, oh, I'm nothing. Who is this? Anybody, how many of you have ever had that experience before? Because we relied so much on something telling us who it is. So I could sit here all day because of my relationship with the Holy Spirit and tell you, this is of the Holy Spirit, this is of the Holy Spirit. And you may not think it's any different from the person down at Walmart or Acme, right? Because you don't know His voice. And the reason why you may not know His voice is because you don't have a relationship with Him. So we need this relationship, and that's what comes from confidence. And the Holy Spirit will speak to us, and He speaks to us for correction and for direction. And so notice that it's not conviction. It's conviction, not condemnation. One of the things that we say, I've heard so many people over the years like, oh my gosh, I feel so guilty because I just feel like God is just being, I feel so guilty. One thing is one of my carte blanche statements is, if you feel guilt, it's not from God.
Amen.
Guilt is never from God. Remember last week, for those of you who were here and heard the message, we talked about how Satan loves to make counterfeits for what God's gifts are. In this case, conviction is what God has. Conviction is that God says, hey, and it's through the Holy Spirit, hey, this is how I want you to live, and you're living this way. It's better for your life to do it this way. Guilt is, you do it, I knew you were scum. I knew you're just the worst thing. You call yourself a Christian. That's guilt. Guilt always comes from the pit of hell. Take that to the bank. Whether it's from a person guilting you or whether it's from yourself guilting you, it comes from the pit of hell. So put it back where it needs to go and get back to conviction, because God's not going to sit there and beat you up and say you're just nothing. He's going to say, hey, I love you, and I'm here, and I sent my Son for you, so don't do it again, and just go ahead, and let's build a life together, and so I can gift you and give you the life that I have planned for you. All right, so we need to recognize that it's that. The Holy Spirit wants to speak to us because when you have spiritual gifts inside you, God has given us, yes, natural talents, but He's also given us spiritual gifts. That's why in our Haven 201, which we had, we spent some time, we did a couple weeks ago, we spend time in figuring out your personality because God gave you a personality. Whether you like it, he ingrained you with one. Some of you are extroverts. How many are extroverts? Meaning you're like, you walk in the room, everybody knows you're there. If you don't have your hand up, you're probably an introvert because you don't want anybody looking at your hand up. I'm going to surprise you right now. I am an extrovert. I'll let the shock sit in. You know, if you need medical attention, we'll help. No, I have been an extrovert from day one. Always. Like, I walk into a room, I don't sneak in anywhere. It's just me. That's the personality God has given me. But God has also given not only natural personalities and natural gifts, God has also given us, through his Holy Spirit, spiritual gifts. And those are important. Those spiritual gifts are supposed to be used for something. And I'm going to tell you, the answer is not you. Okay? What does it say in 1 Corinthians 12? It says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us. You know what each of us means? Each of us. There we go. So that we can do what? Help each other. The spiritual gifts are for building up or edifying the church. The spiritual gifts are for helping each other. So God gives us healing and prophecy and preaching and teaching and all these other kind of gifts, administration, all these things. Why? To help each other, not to keep to ourselves. So that's why we say the two most important days of your life are the day you're born and the day you find out why. How do you find out why? By figuring out what your spiritual gift is and utilizing it for the kingdom. Because here's what I'm going to tell you. If you aren't using it, nobody else is filling it. God gave you that spiritual gift at this particular time for somebody else. Okay? You get that? So you have a spiritual gift inside you when you say yes to Jesus. So what's the difference between confident and cautious and curious? I would say the cautious and curious probably have heard somebody who said they had a relationship with the Holy Spirit. I'm not denying that, but it's been more packaged like it's about me. You know what I mean? That you have a gift that you may be using to help people, but there's too much of you in the way and not enough of God. Amen. And we've seen that time and time in life where people may have a gift of generosity. And then they say, look at how much I'm giving to people. You know, that's not about God. That's about you. And so that's not what it's given to. But who knows why? We're going to look at some more. It's for their glory, not his. Our gifts are to be given. That is the main thing. We are given gifts to be given. So that's what we have. So the next one, the confident crowd, their next step is this, that we need to stop hesitating. If you're confident of your relationship with the Holy Spirit, stop hesitating and start operating more in what the Holy Spirit has gifted you to do and called you to do. So we need to do that. So what do I mean by that? It means like if you're in the grocery store and the Lord says to the person behind you, give them a word of encouragement. That you go ahead and you turn around and say, hey, I just wanted to let you know that the Lord told me just to boom and say it. Right. Just do it. Yeah. Just do it. And then you can't hesitate anymore when somebody at work is going through something. Go to them and say, hey, how you doing? I want to pray for you. And see what happens. See, when the Holy Spirit leads you, let the Holy Spirit lead and guide you. And when you do that, you'll find that the people are drawn to you, but they're not drawn to you. They're drawn to the Spirit that is within you. And time again. So we got to stop hesitating. Number two, as another group here today, and you're cautious. And I get it. There was a time in my life, like I said, you know, we had all this Holy Spirit stuff going around us, and I was kind of like, I don't want any parts of that. I'm going to be good. I'm going to be a Christian. But I just really didn't want all that stuff, you know, all the things that come with it, the gifts of the Spirit and all that stuff. Okay, that's good for mom and dad, not me. All right? God changed that. God had a different plan. But one of the things that was interesting is when I said that, I saw my parents and others in the church and in church environments thinking, it's good for them. I don't really think how good it is for me. And notice what I said there. It is for me. One of the biggest problems we have with the Holy Spirit is that we refer to the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, as it. All right? As it. Holy Spirit is not an it. It's a he. It's a person. It's a person. That'd be like if you went somewhere and you have your spouse with you and say, it's here. You know, I've been married to it for so many years. maybe not tomorrow, right? You know, you keep calling them it. What I'm saying is we don't in relationships, we don't call it, you know. I don't go ahead and say it right here, Ron. It's in charge of our small group ministry. Good it. You know, I mean, that's just rude. Am I right? But we do that in a church that loves the Lord, and we refer to the power source, the Holy Spirit, our counselor, our comforter, as it rather than him. And so we need that relationship. And so the Holy Spirit is a person to know, not a principle to learn. And we need to embrace that we don't want to just learn. I want to learn about the Spirit. No, I want to know him. I want to know him intimately, because it is the third person, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And those are what we call the Godhead. The Holy Spirit, the terms that are used for him in the Bible are: the Holy Spirit is our helper. He's our comforter, our counselor, our advocate, our friend. You notice those are all relational terms? All relational terms, because it's all about relationship. Jesus said, I'm going to send you another counselor. I'm going to send you somebody like me, but somebody who's got power and somebody who's going to be here with you. You notice that all these words that I shared, they're not verbs. They're not helping. They're not comforting. They're not counseling. They're not advocating. They're not friending. No, because the Holy Spirit is not a verb either. Holy Spirit's not just the action of God. The Holy Spirit, he's a proper noun. Mrs. Clark's high school grammar 2 class would be really proud of me right now that I use that, all right? But my God, the Holy Spirit, is my helper. He's my comforter. He's my advocate. He's my friend. And all those other things, he's relational to me. I know his voice. I can't know an it's voice, all right? And so it's super important that we see the Holy Spirit as a person. And so I think one of the reasons why many of us are in this stage right here is because we focus on the Holy Spirit as it rather than he, and we're cautious about having relationships with it. You know what I mean? So John 16, Jesus is speaking. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go away, I will send him to you. There's Jesus saying, he's helper. He's saying, hey, when I go away, it's going to be better for you. Now, I don't know about you, but I was like, well, I think it would be pretty cool hanging out with Jesus. What about you? Yeah. Like, I think it would be cool to be one of his disciples and just hanging out and seeing those things. But, you know, I'm missing the point there, because what Jesus is saying here, when Jesus was fully God, fully human, but there was limitations to the incarnation, meaning that there was limitations that Jesus experienced by being fully human. Okay, like for instance, God is omnipresent, but in order to become human, Jesus didn't get himself everywhere because he wanted to relate fully to humanity. And so during Jesus' earthly ministry, he experienced rejection, he experienced betrayal, he experienced abandonment, pain on the cross, temptation, all those things like we do. And that's awesome to know that Jesus understands and can relate with us. But during his earthly ministry, he walked from place to place. He was riding in boats from place to place. He wasn't just like, hey, I'll see you later. Popped over there like the disciples. They said, we're going to the other side. And he'd go, okay, see you there. Blink like I dream a genie and end up on the other side. That's not what he did. What did he do? Yeah, he walked on water, which was miraculous. But he had to walk on water. He didn't fly over water. You get what I'm saying here? Because he wanted to experience full humanity, he had to go ahead and be human in those areas. Now, I'm going to tell you, you cannot go to heaven if you don't have a relationship with Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about his gift. It's all about his life that he gave for you. But even Jesus knew that. He said, hey, yes, you come through me, but I'm going to give you something that's better than I can be, the Holy Spirit, because I'm going to give you something that's going to be inside you and with you, and because I've experienced this stuff, and I know you guys, you're a mess. You need super powerful Holy Spirit power to get you through every single day. Amen. And so here's what he says here. Here's what it says here in John 14. The friend, notice it's not it, the friend, not the principle of the friend, but the friend, my friend, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send at my request, Jesus says, will make everything plain to you, and he will remind you of all the things that I have told you. Yes, we have the Word of God. Yes, you have wonderful sermons like this one. Yes, you have principles that we learn from Scripture. But it is the Holy Spirit that brings you back in when you need wisdom in some decision. It's the Holy Spirit that brings you back in when you have a moment of temptation. It's the Holy Spirit that activates the fruits of the Spirit when you feel frustrated and you need to exhibit patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. He is the Holy Spirit that is there with you and says, no, that's not how it works, Jack. Jesus knew, I need you to know the friend, the counselor, the comforter, the power, because otherwise you ain't going to make it. And he can be with you always and everywhere. It's interesting, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon somebody, like in the case of Samson. It says the Holy Spirit came upon him, and then he went and tore stuff apart, and then the Holy Spirit would take off. And then the Holy Spirit would come on somebody, and then go. The Holy Spirit now resides within us when we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We are called the temples of the Holy Spirit. In other words, we are the churches of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit says, this looks like a great place to be because they love Jesus, and I'm going to reside right here. I'm going to be with them. And he's not just like sitting back with a remote or anything. He's actively involved and wants you to have a fullness of life that Jesus promises. Now, one of the main reasons why I think we're kind of cautious is because how the Holy Spirit is, how he's portrayed. We're good with God the Father, right? Because many of us, good, bad, or indifferent, have experienced what, understand what fathers are. And we can relate to a Father God. We can talk about Jesus the Son, and we can relate to that as well, because we can figure that out. But when we talk about the Holy Spirit, or if we get a little bit southern, we talk about the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Yeah. Holy Ghost, like, yeah, the Holy Ghost, right? When you talk about the ghost, that makes people a little bit weirded out, like a little freaked out about it, like a ghost. Because I don't know about you, but when you think about ghosts, and this is the time of year where people think about ghosts, what do you think of? You ever seen those ghost hunting shows? Like, I don't know what they're saying, but like lightning things are going off and electric. I don't know, but it's weird. Look at that hand. I'm like, I'm not looking at the hand. I'm getting out of here. Or like I remember as a kid, that movie Poltergeist. And I will tell you, I love television, but if that white noise static was on, Jack was going nowhere near that TV because I was going to say, they're here. No, not me. Not going to do it. Wanted no parts of it. and so, like, you know, one of the things I was thinking about this, over at Plumpton Park Zoo around this time of year, Hannah and Judah were really little. And we decided to go. They had this thing, I think it was called Zombies at the Zoo. We're like, oh, let's go see some animals, and they have hay rides and all kinds of stuff. So we went over there, and they're like, okay, you're the next group to go. So we went in. I'm thinking we're going to go on this nice little tour. But they take us in this, like, old little building that's creepy, all right? And we're in there. As soon as we walked in, Aunt Hannah's real little, and she's like, mm-mm. Judah starts, like, whimpering over here. So I got Hannah here, and I'm like, and they shut the door behind you. Like, I ain't going anywhere. I'm like, what's going to happen here? And then these people, God bless them, they started talking about, like, some paranormal stuff in Cecil County. At least I think that's what they were talking about. Because Hannah was going, had her head buried in my side, going, no, no, shut up, shut up, no, shut up. And I was like, yeah, tell her, girl, tell her, shut up. Let's get this out of this place. Shut up, no, no. And they were perturbed, but I was like, no, so you just keep on going. Then they had us go in a basement. And I'm like, this is a dumb idea. Where are the animals, right? But, you know, by the time we're there, I'm carrying her through, and I'm like, don't touch her, don't touch her, don't do anything, and I'm walking through, and I hear Judah, like this. I was like, well, that was fun, wasn't it, you know? And then we went to Pizza Boy and ate. But what I'm saying is, you know, I just thought it was hilarious. She was just saying, telling him to shut up, but anyway. But anyway, what I'm saying is, I don't like to deal with the ghost stuff. Like, I'm not even I don't even like Casper. You know what I mean? Then I'm thinking, why would I bother with ghosts when there's a lot of living human beings I don't want to bother with, you know, in life? And so when we think about this, when we talk about the Holy Ghost, I don't want that. I don't want that either. Am I going to have to tell God the Holy Ghost, shut up, shut up, shut up, leave me alone? No. And we do that at times because of our understanding of what ghost and spirit are. And I think that can weird us out a little bit, but we need to know that the Holy Spirit is not a ghost as we understand it. It's not a principle. It's not an it. It's a he. It's part of God. And the truth is, we have no issues praying to God, right? We can pray and we can say, dear God, thank you for this day. And dear God, help me in this meeting as I go in with these people who don't have a clue what's right, you know, or whatever. They say, we don't have an issue in talking to God the Son. Jesus, I just want to thank you for your presence. I praise you for who you are. And I thank you that you're just God Almighty and you love me. In Jesus' name, amen. But what if we went ahead and said, Holy Spirit, I just want to, does that sound weird? A lot of times we don't pray to the Holy Spirit. I wonder if he's saying, like, what about me? I'm dealing with you all day. Why don't you just give me some, you know? But why don't we just put into practice? And I say if we do that, we start putting into practice praying to the Holy Spirit, then we begin to have a relationship with him. So this week, I encourage you to open your Bibles, and when you pray and do whatever, just really seek the Holy Spirit. Just practice inviting the third person of the Trinity into your prayer and into your worship time. Holy Spirit, will you help me understand your word today as I open the Bible? Holy Spirit, would you give me wisdom before I walk into this meeting? Holy Spirit, would you give me direction to what I need to say to my child who's going down a bad path? Holy Spirit, would you heal me in my mind and my body? Because you're talking to him, not a concept. Just invite the third person of the Trinity into your life. And I promise as you do, you'll see that it goes from a principle to a person more and more. Number three, curious. I think the majority of people, in the sound of my voice, you're not against the Holy Spirit. You just have a lot of questions. And so in the last few minutes, I'm going to answer some of those, give you some principles of the Holy Spirit, I think, that you can take with you from curious to more confident. So if you're curious, the first thing you have to do, and there's only two major principles here, you have to discover the life-giving presence of the Holy Spirit. That's simple. Discover the life-giving presence of the Holy Spirit. And 2 Corinthians, it says, the amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ. Anybody in this room thankful for the grace of Jesus Christ? I know I am, because without the grace of Jesus Christ, nothing is possible. What he did on the cross, his blood that was shed, that grace, and grace is a churchy word, it means undeserved favor, undeserved love. Everything that Jesus did, I don't deserve any of it, but he loves me. The next thing, it says, the extravagant love of God. The extravagant love of God, what is the extravagant love of God? That he created us, and he loves us so much that he gave up his son for you and me. He allowed Jesus to go through what expressed his grace through the extravagant love of the Father. I have 5 children, and sometimes they drive me nuts, but I can't imagine giving their life for somebody, let alone people who did me wrong. That's exactly what God did. We had done him wrong, all humanity, and he said, hey, my son, who I love, and he gave his life up for him. The extravagant love of God, the extravagant love of God, I can't begin to fathom that. And then, what's the third part there? The intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. This is what we need. We may understand and be appreciative of the grace of Jesus Christ. We may be thankful and just and feel so unworthy of the extravagant love of God. But how many are seeking the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit? Because we don't have that, we're missing out on what God has for us in life. Jesus didn't just send the Holy Spirit here to just sit by. So that Sunday we can say, okay, come on, Holy Spirit, go ahead. We're gonna sing some songs about you. I'm going to just hear a message about you. He sent him so he would be with us all the time. So if you're here today and you're curious, you don't need another explanation. You need an experience, not an explanation. You need an experience, and you're coming to church, and you're knowing your Bibles, and you sing the songs, and you believe he's real, but you don't need fully another explanation. You need to say, I need to meet you, Holy Spirit. I need to have a personal encounter with you. I want to experience you. I want to see you do awesome things in my life. I want to hear your voice as you guide me. I want you to do the impossible in and through me. I need to know you. I need to have an experience with you. And I hope that's every day. Like, for instance, I'll give you the example. Me, I have friends. That's another shocking thing today, right? I have friends, and hopefully we all do at some level. But both my whole friends are in two categories. Friends and acquaintances. They're like Facebook friends. You know, like you have 1,000, and you know, like you haven't talked to them since 1978. You know what I mean? You have those. And then there's close, intimate friends. So what separates that? It's not age. It's not personality type. It's not even proximity. Because one of my friends lives pretty far away, and I talk to him a lot. So what is it? The difference between the friends or acquaintances and the intimate friendships is that somewhere along our life, we have a shared experience. We have shared good, bad, ugly, and different together. And we build an intimacy of friendship. And so their relationship with me, because of what we've experienced, is deeper. I will tell you something else. The other thing is, I become more vulnerable with them and them with me. Same thing with the Holy Spirit. I can say he's my friend, but he's an acquaintance friend, or I can spend time with the Holy Spirit and have this intimate relationship by being vulnerable and by being open to him. So what is the experience with the Holy Spirit that builds the intimate relationship? It's the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of people get nervous when you hear that because of how it's been portrayed. You're like, okay, there's baptism and water. And I shared this before, but I'm going to do it very quickly. There's actually three baptisms, and it's talked in the scripture they talk about. And it's in 1 John, and it talks about them. It says, and they tell you two things, one that's in heaven and one that's on earth. So the first thing is that there are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, who is Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. There's the triune God, right? And these three are one. There's the Trinity. If anybody ever says, where's the Trinity? Right here, okay? All right, so that's in heaven. That's what's going on in heaven. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And then it says, and there are the three that bear witness where? On earth. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these agree as one. So the first thing is this, and that's the blood one. It is the baptism into the body of Christ, or what we call salvation. That is blood. It's the blood of Jesus. We call it blood baptism in the blood of Christ. And so we talked about, you might remember old hymns, are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? And when you give your life to Jesus, when you join with, you don't just join with Jesus, you join with his family. All the Christians that were before, all the Christians after, you join with those believers. You are baptized into a family of God. They're not just individual Christians. And I think it's one thing the church has done wrong. We are a body of believers. That's why we're called the body of Christ. And there's so many terminologies are used that about being the family of God, the body of Christ. And so that alone should be an amazing experience, salvation through Jesus Christ, all right? The baptism into blood or salvation. The second one is water baptism. We know that some people, the other week, you experienced that right in the creek through water baptism. And what is water baptism? It's a public declaration of faith that I have an inward decision in my life that I've made, and I can't hold it in anymore. In our country, it's really easy to be a quiet Christian. But through baptism, you're saying, guess what, everybody? I'm aligning with Jesus. And I have decided to worship and live my life for him. That's why when you get baptized here, you say, I can't hold it in. I'm going to let everybody know. And when you go ahead and you get baptized, the shirt says what? I have decided. That doesn't mean that you decided to follow Jesus. What it's saying is, you have decided to follow Jesus. Now you're making a decision to let everybody know, I have decided to follow Jesus. So when you're wearing your I have decided Haven baptism shirt, you're walking in and somebody's looking at it. Anybody ever wear them? Somebody's trying to read it? And they're reading it and they're looking at it. And then you say, and then when they see, they take the rest of the look when they're walking away, it says, if anyone is in Christ, there's a new creation. Because you are telling the world, and hopefully you're living your life that way. That you're not just having to put it on a shirt, but that your life is saying, I have decided to follow Jesus. And I want everybody to know that. There's no secret service in the body of Christ. All right? And so that's what you do. Jesus paid it all. And listen what it says in Acts chapter 2. It says, those who accepted his message, the first baptism, were baptized in the second baptism. The third thing, and we'll wind up with this, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Why? So that we can receive power. It's not a heaven or hell issue. That's the baptism in the blood of Jesus Christ, into the family of God. But it's a power on earth issue. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus said this, but you will receive power. Everybody say power.
Power.
When the Holy Spirit comes on you. You know, I work out a lot. I know you can tell how muscular I am up here. But sometimes I'm like, am I getting anything done? Am I stronger? Am I anything else? Isn't it cool that you can have a power that is greater? The power that created the universe, the power that rose Jesus from the dead can live within you just by saying yes to Jesus, just by telling the world, I have decided, by saying, Holy Spirit, do your thing. That's a heck of a lot better than working out, right? The Holy Spirit comes upon you and you receive power. You see things differently. You have a different connection. And so if you're here and you're curious, I think the first thing that you need to do is start to discover the life-giving presence of the Holy Spirit. The last thing is depend on the power of the Holy Spirit. Why do I need to depend on the Holy Spirit when I already have salvation, Jack? I've invited Jesus into my heart, and isn't that enough? Why do I need his Holy Spirit? In John chapter 16, it says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will do what? He'll guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard, and he will also tell you about the future. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of stuff that's crazy in this world. You agree with me?
Yeah.
Sometimes I think I'm the crazy one. And there's a lot of different things out there. We need the Spirit of truth more than ever. We need to hold on to the truth. And God doesn't lie. So we need that Spirit of truth for our lives in many ways. And the moment he speaks truth, what happens? Why do we need that? To overcome. To overcome the sin in our life. To overcome the attacks of Satan. To overcome the hardships and struggles. To overcome depression and anxiety. And again, also use the giftedness of people in the body. There are people that are gifted in counseling. Use that. But also use the Holy Spirit to help you get through it. To get through hurt and loss. Why? Because we need the power to overcome. Because there's still an enemy. And the Bible says that he comes to do a couple things. Comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Steal, kill, and destroy. We're talking about, like we've seen things on the news and on social media about what's going on in different places in the world, and about particularly today in Israel. And not one enemy comes and goes, how you doing? Let me do something good for you. They come and do steal, kill, and destroy. And that's what Satan is doing every day of your life. Every day of your life. He tempts. He tries to convince your mind of something. He tries to lie and he tries to rob and steal the life God has for you. Without the Holy Spirit's power to overcome our actions, thoughts, behaviors, frustration, whatever else, we're in trouble. We may have Jesus as Lord and Savior. We may want to try to get somewhere in life, but because of everything else, we don't have the energy. We don't have the vision because we're stuck because we know and believe in the Holy Spirit, but he's my acquaintance, not my friend. You see, God gives us the Holy Spirit that we can overcome the scheme of the enemy. Because no weapon formed against me can prosper, because greater is he that is in me, and who's that? The Holy Spirit, than he that's in the world, which is Satan. God gives us the Holy Spirit that we can overcome. And I love this statement. I've heard it. I stole it. All right? And I love it. Being filled with the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit doesn't make me better than you. It makes me better than me. I can be better by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the only reason I can ever be better. So that regardless of myself, regardless of what I'm going through, regardless of my struggles, guided by the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit, taking my spiritual gifts and my personality, that maybe non-believers will see something. That they can look at me and I can be a witness to somebody, because they see something different about me, but it's not me, it's the one who is living in me. So So what I do if I, if you're, what I do next if I'm in the category of curious, or what I do if I'm in the category of cautious, and just be relational with the Holy Spirit. Just put God to the test and say, God, I want to know your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I want to know you. 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 So I'm going to talk to you every day until you answer the phone.
Amen.
And keep doing it and see if God does not do something else. So that you don't say when it comes down to it, when the Holy Spirit's speaking, and who are you? You'll know his voice.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
All right, everybody. Let's stand and we'll pray and worship God one more time today as a group. At the end of today's, during this, the last song, we also use it as a time to give God back through God's tithe and our offerings. And if you're visiting with us today, we don't expect you to give. We want you to just receive what God has for you, and just ask for the blessing of those who are giving. We thank you for it. It's not for here. It's for around the world. I always love that we are way over the biblical method of tithing of what we give to missions in the 20s and plus percentage giving out, because making a difference in the world. Got a chance to talk to some of our brothers and sisters in Haiti this last week, and just recognizing that your gifts are making it possible in a very difficult area down there. And Pastor Oog has, the school is growing by leaps and bounds, and people are coming to know Jesus even deeper because of your love and your care. In our own community, the needs and everything else are being met, and I just want to thank you for your giving. And you know, next week, I expect to see a ton of boxes here for people we may never see until the day we get to heaven. They may say, you know, I was lost and had no clue in life. I was depressed, and I knew that where I was living, I was never going to get the normal things. And I received the Operation Christmas Child box, and it had something in there that told me God loved me, and it changed my entire life. You're not packing a box full of just stuff. You're using what God has given you to maybe reach someone else for the kingdom. And maybe, like we were talking about in our last series, maybe that's the one God's waiting for to tell his son, all right, go get my church. It's a gift to the Lord, cheerfully and lovingly, like you always do. And so let's just pray. And God, I thank you that you're putting your blessing over the gifts that are coming in. But more importantly, God, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for the extravagant love of God. God, I thank you for the extravagant love, Father. And Holy Spirit, sorry that we forget you. Sorry that we call you it. Thank you for not leaving me orphaned. Thank you for being here even when I ignore you. And so, Holy Spirit, I'm just asking that today we can renew our friendship. Or maybe that somebody here is meeting you for the first time in a way more than a principle, but as a person. So ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce you to the Holy Spirit. He was with God from the beginning. He helped create all things. He showed up after Jesus took off so that you could have power and do those things that Jesus did and even greater. Because he knows it's difficult, and he's your helper, and he's your comforter, and he's your strength. And he loves you. So God, help us just experience that love. We don't need understanding fully. We don't need explanations. We just need to stop thinking and just need to start experiencing you. So Holy Spirit, do your thing. Introduce yourself to us in so many different ways today and this week. We'll give you praise for who you are. Somebody else here in the sound of my voice, you may not have ever got to the even beginning part of the first baptism where you say, I want to be part of a family. All I have to do is say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I missed the mark. I I need a Savior, and you're going to be it. And all heaven throws a party. So God, here today. That's all somebody needs to say, and we'll just rejoice. We'll rejoice with them when they say, I have decided publicly to tell everybody, no, I'm part of the family of God. And that when they go closer with you, the Holy Spirit, their lives will change and change the world because their gifts are made for others. So God, do your thing during this time. There'll be people to pray with you if you want to pray. Let's just worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
This fall weather stuff, and say good seeing you this week to somebody, and have a great week. God bless.